All right, take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Today's message is the ripple effect of serving. The ripple effect of serving. And I love this thought. What can happen when just one? We're asking the question, who's your one? And we're going to get some meat today. I mean, I hope that you will dive in with me and that we can all make a ripple effect today. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in their daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them, said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanon, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now here's the ripple effect. And the word of God increased. The number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. That means, y'all know what that means? The preachers got saved. That's what it means. They think some 8,000 priests, Jerusalem priests, who had been stuck in Judaism, had just lost religion. As a result of this, 8,000 priests got saved. I want you to look at me closely before we pray. God's fixing to do something in this place. Amen. And I know it. I know it without a doubt, and I won't kid with Sam. I firmly believe a year from now, Jonathan, there's going to be an extra 30 youth in this church, and I'm not flapping my lips. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, I do know some things you don't know, and I know that God's working, and I do know some people are coming, and we're going to see this church filled. In a year from now, this church will be packed. Now, just count on it. I got one that believes it. Let's pray. Father, what you can do with the ripple effect, if just one person, if just one leader gets better, well, Lord, may that one be me. May it be our deacons. May it be our Sunday school teachers. May it be every leader in this church. May it be every member of this church. May we make a decision today, a ripple decision, that we're going to be better because you are the one who lives in us. And as we just heard Rita sing, I love that song, that I am because of who I am in Christ. Lord, you are the great I am, and I pray today that you'll make yourself known is the great I am in this church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Okay. I told Sherry, I said, time's running out. She said, just get it out of your system. So I'm going to get it out of my system. So I have a question for you. I have a question for you to ask yourself this morning, all right? And it's up on the screen. If every member were like me, what kind of church would there be? Where would the church be? Did you ever stand on the bank of a farm pond or the bank of a river and just pitch a rock out into the water and see the ripple effect that doing such causes? We live in a pool of people, and no matter what we do or say, there will be a ripple effect. Amen. For better, for worse, whatever happens, we all influence one another. Now, you can come here today with a negative attitude and say, you know what? I don't believe Pastor Ronnie. I don't think things are ever going to get better. I've read the back of the book, and we win. I'll tell you something, friend. I know for a fact that things are going to get better. You know why? Because our God said so. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God? Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You say, well, preacher, that's talking about heaven. Well, don't you know heaven came to earth when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, when he rose from that grave? Friend, and now we baptize three people named the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost today. I'm going to tell you something. I believe heaven has come down and glory has filled our soul. So what does church really look like? I want to ask you, who do you serve? Do you serve your job? Some would say, yeah. Do you serve your family? You serve your husband, you serve your wife, you serve your children. I mean, who do you serve? Do you serve the government? Tax time, we think so. You serve our community, you serve our church, or do you serve the Lord? It always comes down to the heart, okay? Church work isn't really God's work unless it's done God's way. The temptation is great to substitute a plan that man or Satan has devised. And the scripture I've read today, many have taken out of context. Many have thought that that's talking about deacons and they're supposed to be the ones who run the church. They're supposed to be a deacon board. And that's about as far from the Word of God as you can get. It is. Because you know the word deacon, And it's actually here twice, and I'm going to show it to you. But the fact is, we're all called to be servants. Servants. You see, a board wants to be served. Yeah. That's why we call our deacons a deacon body, because we are about serving. We're the body of Christ, amen? We're not a board. Boards are boring. The substitute plan may look good and even spiritual. God has the big picture. He knows exactly how much of what is needed in each church. From his perspective, things can be kept in perfect order and in balance. Anything else is out of order. The Bible is very clear on who the head of the church is. Now, I want you to think about this because it's something that I've been meditating on for about a week and a half now. Somehow God's just been speaking in my heart about this, that he's the head of the body. If the body is not healthy, is it because of the head? No. Nothing wrong with the head of the body. He's perfect, in fact, right? Then if the body is not healthy, what's the problem? Can I just call it like it is and save everybody a bunch of time? S-I-N, sin. That's the problem. And so in your physical body, when there's a problem, if there's something that's destroying you inside, whatever it might be, whatever disease you might have, cancer or whatever, what's the doctor going to say? We got to get this out. We got to deal with it. You don't go to a doctor and he says, you know, you're ate up with cancer, and you say, okay, well, I'm fine. No, you deal with it. You got to deal with it. That's the problem in most churches today. Nobody wants to deal with sin. No, we want to sweep it under the rug, and we're going to often say this, well, you know, nobody's perfect. Well, that's never the issue. None of us are perfect. But we are to be a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a holy people. We're to be different from the world. And so last week I talked with you about this. You got to be different to make a difference, right? And so we're looking at how we can be servants today. And I want to talk with you what happens when you have an attitude of servant leader. Okay, that's the key term. By the way, who was the perfect example in servant leadership? Jesus, amen. He washed the disciples' feet. And he said, he that is least among you, he's the one who's the servant. He's the one who is who I'm going to use. So God's going to use people who keep sin out of their life. Thank God for the blood that washes our sins away. And I couldn't stand in this pulpit if I didn't stay close, clean, and clear. I pray that every single day of my life. Lord, keep me close to you. Keep me clean through the blood of the Lord Jesus, through your word. And keep me clear, because boy, you don't know nothing about being a pastor unless you are one. Satan loves to clutter this up right here. So I just refuse to allow him. I don't want to come to the pulpit cluttered with stuff. I want to be clear in thinking so God can speak to my heart. All right, first of all, I want you to look at this. I see in this scripture sensitive field servants. I'm not talking about sensitive to the things of the world. I'm not talking about being sensitive, worried about getting your feelings hurt. I'm talking about sensitive to the needs of others. Notice what he says in verse 2, that the 12 called the multitude together. There was unity here. The deacons were chosen to be servants of the church. In fact, the word deacon comes from the word, the word is dianeko. Now, that's different than the word dekanos, but dianekano. It's found in the last part of verse 2. I looked this up, so you can do it too behind me, of this chapter. Verse 2 says they were to serve. You see it in verse 2, the last part where he says they were serving tables. Well, that's the whole idea, to wait on tables. Servant helpers, kicking up the dust, if you will, to wait on the tables. It carries the idea of serving with joy, that the servant kicks up the dust as he serves. Maybe that is why the Bible says that deacons are to use the office and not fill the office. The word use means serve as unto the Lord. Now, the second word for deacon there is the last word in verse 1. If you look it up in the Greeks, I challenge you, go on. I had to do it. I'll let you do it. The word ministration there is the word diakonos, and it means to serve in ministry. Why is it that we ordain deacons? We don't ordain other people in the church. We don't ordain the finance committee. We don't ordain the nominating committee. We don't ordain the grounding committee, the grounding, what do they call it? Building grounds committee. We don't ordain anyone else. Because we believe, according to Scripture, deacons are to do ministry. That's what the meaning of the word is, to serve in ministry. There is no such thing as a deacon board. A board is absolutely a contradiction of the Word of God. We operate as the body of Christ, no boards, but as a body wherein Jesus Christ is the head. A body, a board will rule, a board will dictate, a board will seek to be served, but a deacon body, they're the ones serving. They're kicking up the dust. They're so excited about serving others. I had a wonderful experience this week, and I always do when I go to Chick-fil-A. My granddaughter calls it Chick-fil-A. She says, "Papa, can we go to Chick-fil-A?" I mean, that's a big deal. Chick-fil-A is. Her mother was the same way when she was little. So I went to Chick-fil-A by myself, Chick-fil-A. And I'm sitting there, and this lady comes up to me, and she says, "Could I refill your drink?" I said, "Well, thank you." She said, "It's my pleasure." She went and filled my drink. She came back, and I said, "Thank you." She said, "It is my pleasure." And she said, "Anything else I can get you?" The place was swamped. It was busy. You ever been to Fayetteville Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She said, "The third time, it is my pleasure." Well, I'm sitting there, and I'm eating my Chick-fil-A sandwich, and I'm listening to two ladies behind me, okay? I couldn't help it. And this is what the other lady said. She said, "I wish that all restaurants were like Chick-fil-A." She said, "People here are so nice, and they're so serving." I'm going to tell you what this preacher began to think. And boy, did this register with me. I began to think of Gord Springs Baptist Church. And I thought about the times, and I've done this hundreds of times. I mean, people, we follow up with guests here, and I've heard them say, "Well, the church certainly is friendly, and everybody is so welcoming." And I think that is true here, and that's something that this church has got a name for. And I want to encourage you, let's even get better at that. Because you know what? If Chick-fil-A, who just serves a chicken sandwich, can say, "It's my pleasure," we're serving Christ the Savior, not chicken sandwiches here, okay? And we ought to count it a pleasure to serve others. Amen? It ought to be our pleasure to make those who come in the doors of this church to feel welcome. And you know, it starts with me. It starts with our deacons. It starts with each of us. I'll tell you, if just one person can get better, if our ushers can get better, is there room for improvement for the ushers? Is there room for improvement for the deacons? Is there room improvement for the pastor? Oh, big time. I know him personally. Yeah. I'm telling you something. There's always room to grow. How are we going to grow? Well, let's see how this church grew, okay? Number one, I've got a word here about their witnessing, a word about their witness. It says, "And in those days," in verse 1, "when the number of the disciples were multiplied." Now, I want you to look back in chapter 5, verse 32. I love this verse because here we see the disciples, they were going through all kinds of persecution. But here's what they said. "And in those days," it says in verse 32 of chapter 5, "and we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God had given to them that obey him." I mean, think about that for a minute. He's talking to the religious crowd, and he's saying, "We can't." I love one of my favorite verses. Where is it at? Verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Amen. I mean, they took a stand and they were witnessing. And the beautiful thing, they were witnessing to the religious people. No wonder priests got saved, because the witnessing started early and they were telling even the priests. He said, "This Jesus whom you've crucified," Peter said. You know, so what a word of witness. You know what, church? That is our purpose. Kingdom servants are focused on winning the lost to Christ. And my understanding of deacon is this. This is my focus. I hope it'll be yours. This is a kingdom work. You do what you do as unto the King, King Jesus. Amen. You don't do it because the church has asked you to. You don't do it because the preacher does an ordination service. No, you do it as unto the King, King Jesus. And if you've got any other motive, then you shouldn't do it. Amen. You should. We're going to select deacons today, okay? It's never a popularity contest. And unto God, it better not be a political contest. You know, I mean, something's wrong with a man that goes around and says, "Vote for me. I want to be a deacon." There's something wrong with, number one, he's disqualified himself. It shouldn't be a political process. It shouldn't be a popularity process. You know what it should be? A praying event. You should be praying about this. The word about their witness. You see, this is our purpose. And God's only going to bless what is of Him. He'll never bless what you and I do. No, on our own. But God's only going to bless what He does through us. You see the difference? I talked about that last week, a work for God and a work of God. There are many churches that are doing a work for God, but they're not seeing a work of God because they're not doing it God's way. To lead that one to Jesus and to help that one to lead others to Jesus. That's what the deacon ministry is all about. It really is. I'm so proud that we have a good number of deacons that come out every Monday night to lead people to Christ. We need kingdom-sensitive deacons. Just like that lady at Chick-fil-A, she was so sensitive about serving people. I wasn't the only one. She went to everyone. "Can I serve you? Can I get you a drink? Do you need something else?" And she said, I bet, while I sat there, I know I heard her say at least 24 times, "It is my pleasure." What a pleasure. And it ought to be a joy to serve the Lord. Amen? So a word about their witness, and then a word about their widows. Now, hello, I'm fixing to touch a nerve here, because there was some people complaining. Can you believe people would complain in a church? It says, "There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration or the distribution of food." In other words, they were there, and Scripture teaches this, that a man in the church should take care of a widow when her husband's passed on. It should be taken care of by the man of the church. Listen to me carefully. Kingdom-minded servants will be very sensitive to the needs of widows. You know why? Because God said so. If deacons are not taking care of the widows, then why do you have a deacon ministry? Because the Scripture primarily says that's how it all got started. The widows were being neglected. This is a big deal. You say, "Preacher, why are you going to make such a big issue out of this?" Because that's how God's going to bless this church. When we do it God's way. So I personally believe that every deacon, I'm going to say it, now I plan to say this, every deacon that's on our deacon body should visit every widow in this church, every one of them at least once a year. And I'll tell you, we got some sweet ladies, and I've sat down with every one of them, and they've got a lot that they can help you with and encourage you and love on you. And I'm thinking of one right now, she'll give you an earful. Y'all know who I'm talking about. I love her. But she does have a lot of good counsel. You can learn from widow women. You can learn from women who will teach you a lot more about ministry than maybe you know. Serving, loving on them. What will happen? So here's the pastor, and I'm over here visiting with Faye Klein. The Holy Spirit's filling me up. I've never gone to visit Faye that I didn't get blessed. Okay? Margaret Griffin. Amen? Miss Ollie. I don't know all the ladies who, You know, I'm not going to call anybody because some I'm not sure if they're single or what. But the fact is, this is deep. When you start doing ministry the way God designed it, He's going to fill you with His Spirit. He's going to use you mightily, and He's going to bless. There's a ripple effect. Are y'all listening to me? When the deacons are ministering to the widows, the rest of the church will be blessed. Yeah, because they're doing what God called them to do. And therefore, and I'm getting ahead of myself, I can do what God called me to do, and you can do what God called you to do. There's a good word here about widows, and I wanted to give you a picture of what that looks like. Every single deacon visiting, I mean personally, going to their house, sitting down with that widow lady and just ministering to her. That makes all the difference. We always go out two by two every Monday night. What a blessing that is. God will not bless the deacon ministry if we do anything less. Third, the word about the word. That's what I want to get to. The 12 called the multitude of disciples together, it says in verse 2, and said, it is not reason that we should lead the word of God and serve tables. Verse 4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The pastors, the apostles, did not say they were above serving. In fact, I think they were doing all the serving. They were doing the serving. They were serving tables and trying to prepare to teach God's word, and there was not enough time. And so they said, would you choose 7 men among you of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we can spend more time in the word of God? And guess what, church? There's a ripple effect, and God honored that. And the Bible says the word of God spread even more, and more people got saved. Great things happened, church, because they were doing it God's way. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's it. The pastor needs the deacons of the church to aid him in ministry to the church. One man cannot do it all, and he should not be expected to. The deacons are to be active in the work of the ministry. What does that look like? They should visit the sick, care for the bereaved, head off the problems, take care of their assigned families, and under the supervision of the pastor, and generally be a servant to the man of God. The primary leadership role has been vested in the office of the pastor. You need to read your Bible. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Write that down. Hebrews 13, 7, if you want to know what the pastor's role is. Hebrews 13, 17. And deacons were not created to run the pastor. So many times, that's the problem. And many, many pastors, you're not looking at one of them, has been intimidated because some deacon said, I'm going to run you off. I've just never been that guy. I love deacons. I've worked with them for 43 years now. I know all about the church and how it works. But I don't believe you got much of a pastor if he can be intimidated by any man. If God's called you, you stay faithful in what God's called you to do. And you serve with each other. It's not, you're not at war with each other. I've never sat in a deacon's meeting and argued with men. That's just not my nature. I'm not going to argue with you. I like one of our deacons. He says, well, I'm just going to tell you what I think. And then, you know, we're not going to argue about it. We're just going to, you know. There's no sense. You know, even a church has a deacon body that's sitting there arguing with one another. I can go ahead and tell you God's not in that. That's not God's way, is it? No. Do everything decently in order. Do it according to the word of God. You say, preacher, why are you preaching this? Because I know for a fact that when you've got people who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and God's filling them with His Holy Spirit, and that's my next point. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. God's going to move in that church. So let's deal with that right now, because that's what happened here. They were Spirit-filled servants. He says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. And notice the word conjunction there, the conjunction there, and wisdom, whom may we appoint over this business. What business is he talking about? He's talking about the ministry of the church, doing ministry, not running the church. He's talking about doing ministry. You know why? And they might be my last day. I don't know. But I'm going to obey God rather than man. Folks, let me tell you something. You know why most churches are dying? Because we're not doing it God's way. And we've got to understand something, that if God calls a man to be a pastor of the church, then he's got to be the pastor. He's got to be the shepherd. He will answer to God one day for how he led that church. And the deacons, when they become the pastors and the pastor becomes the deacon, that's all out of order. That's not God's plan. We need some spirit-filled servants. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. What is an honest report? Well, they are to be approved men. The number one thing about an approved man is this. He's been called of God. Amen. He's approved of God. God's put him there. You know, I've had churches over the years call me and say, well, we're looking at a pastor. What's the first thing we should do? And I always tell everybody the same thing. Go to God. He knows who he has called already to be your pastor. We're going to be given a sheet of paper in a little bit, and we're going to be asked to check two names. Church, our job is to check the names that God's already called. Because there's already two God's called. You say, preacher, you know who they are? No, I don't know who they are. But God knows. So that's why I know who God's put on my heart. But they're to be approved men. You think about it. They may not always be approved by man, but they're to be approved by God, called of God. Prayer is the key to select deacons. And so I'll just move on because I want to talk about anointed men. Here's my favorite part of this verse. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Notice that these men were to be full. They were not to be empty men. They were to be full. You cannot be a deacon apart from the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. He is the spirit of discernment. That's why he's talking about wisdom here. Note the conjunction and. That is, they were men who fulfilled the command in Ephesians 5:18. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The Greek word for filled there means to be controlled by. A deacon should never be controlled by anybody but the Holy Spirit. Really. Shouldn't be pastor controlled. Shouldn't be people controlled. A deacon should, just like a pastor, he better be controlled by the Holy Spirit. A deacon better be, and I'm saying better because without him, you can't do it. You don't have the strength to do it. He's saying this, that we're to be filled. The word Greek, the Greek word here, it means complete, lacking nothing, thoroughly, permeated, within, full. It carries the idea of being controlled by the Holy Spirit for a deacon. This is absolutely indispensable. You should determine to be a spirit-filled man, or you should stay away from being a deacon. Mere man cannot do a spiritual work. Listen to what the scripture says. 1 Corinthians 3:3, ye are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you. He says, are ye not of the flesh? Look what he says here. Are ye not walking like mere man? Acts 6:6 says, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on. I'm going to tell you, these were not just normal. They were anointed men. They were just not your average Joe. They were guys that God had set apart. And that's why we do the ordination, to set them apart for ministry. The origin of anointing was from a practice of shepherds. Lice and other insects would often get into the wool of sheep. And when they got near the sheep's head, they would burrow into the sheep's ear and kill the sheep. So ancient shepherds poured oil on the sheep's head. Maybe we need to have a oil point service here. Amen? An anointing service. This made the wool slippery, making it impossible for insects to get near the sheep's ear because the insects would slide off. And from this, anointing became symbolic of blessing, protection, empowerment. The New Testament Greek word for anoint is chrisko, which means to smear or rub with oil, and by implication, to set aside, to consecrate that office unto the Lord, to anoint. The Bible, in Bible times, people were anointed with oil to signify God's blessing or God's call upon their life. A person was anointed for service for a particular purpose, as a king, as a prophet, to be a builder, etc. Another meaning for the word anoint is to be the chosen ones. God's got his hand on some man that he wants to use, but he will not use any man unless he's willing to be filled with the Spirit. We've got to be Spirit-filled people. If we're filled with any other spirit, the devil will walk all over us. Are y'all listening? You understand what I'm saying? You can have a mean spirit. Don't look at me like you're spiritual now. We all can get mean. It's easy to get mean. They call it the terrible twos. He's just being a little devil, you know. I mean, it's easy to be mean. You know, I'll never forget a man standing in front of my last church, and I'll never forget this because it really ministered to me. He was our director of missions there, and he said, Ronnie, You always want to stay sweet for Jesus. Amen. This world will make you bitter, it'll make you angry, it'll make you mean, but the Holy Spirit will make you sweet. He'll make you kind. He'll put a smile on your face. I was watching the choir this morning. I thought, well, they're getting filled with the Spirit. They were smiling. Amen? I mean, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's joy. There's peace. Hey, you say, preacher, I had a lady. I don't know if she's here this morning. I don't know. She was here Wednesday night. And she came to me. She's just crying. And she said, I've never in my life heard anything like I heard tonight. I said, what do you mean? She said, it's been a long time since I've heard preaching. She said, I'm starved to death for the Word of God. People are hungry. And I know that I'm not one of your laid-back, easygoing guys. But I tell you what I want more than life. I want the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How about you, Eric? Can't do it without him, can you, brother? I know Eric real well. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. He's a chaplain in the military. You can't serve God without the Holy Spirit. So don't even agree to be a deacon if you're not anointed of God. You need the anointing. And then appointed men. He says in verse 3, whom we may appoint over this business. There was a divine appointment going on. What is the business that the apostle was talking about? The business, as I've already said, of serving tables in particular, serving widows in person who were being neglected in daily ministration. The deacon's business, our calling, is ministry. The business was ministry, not to do church business. He said, preacher, why do we get caught up in church business? I've been asking that for 43 years. I'll never forget a deacon's meeting I attended one time, and an old deacon spoke up and said, deacons, what if we just pray tonight and not discuss anything about the church? This really did happen. And I thought, well, that's a new idea. So we started praying, and we prayed. Every man prayed. There was 12 deacons and myself, so we all prayed. No junk. When we got through, we all looked at each other and said, seems like God's took care of everything we had on our hearts tonight. Let's go home. That really did happen. Guess what? For one night, I was there 25 years. We did it God's way. I mean, for one night, we decided that the deacon's meeting should be a prayer meeting. And no junk, I'm not lying, I wouldn't tell you this. After the prayer time, they all looked at each other and said, well, let's go home. It's all done. Point being, God will take care of his business. He'll take care of his work. But we are not to do it for him. The church is not to be run as a business. The church is not a building. The church is the body of Christ. You say, but preacher Ronnie, you got to understand something. Bills have got to be paid, and there's an expensive light bill, and there's an expensive bill over there for that new family life center. Don't I know that? And my God can handle it. My God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. So my question is this, church. Are we going to be a faith people and make decisions on faith? Or are we going to base everything on what we can figure out and what we can do as far as our finances? God says, well, if you want to depend on yourself, I'll let you. But I own the cattle of 1,000 hills, and I own the hills, and I own all of you. One old preacher said, I got good news and I got bad news. The good news, we've got enough money to pay off the new building. The bad news is it's still in your pocket. You see, God has got an appointment, and he's got man he's approved of, that he's anointed, and he wants us to fulfill that divine appointment. Last thing, and my favorite thing, I think, is really to talk about what a servant is. He's selfless. What is a servant? So I'm going to give it to you. I know you've been asking. Notice in verse 7, because here's the ripple effect, and here's my excitement this morning. Verse 7, because they did it God's way, the word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied, and Jerusalem greatly, that word greatly in the Greek means greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. A Greek scholar by the name of Alex, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name right, Azudan, he's a foreigner. I don't know. I'll chalk it up as that. he said this, a quote. I thought he was pretty profound. I don't know him, but I thought his words were profound. He said, impediments to growth caused by growth can become occasions for growth when priorities are protected and ministry is shared. In other words, they had growing pains here in Acts. They were having a problem. There was a murmuring. The people were being neglected. The widows were being neglected. I like what the apostles did first. They prayed selflessly. So that's my first point I want to make. A servant leader is selfless because he's praying selflessly. He says that we might give ourselves continually to prayer in verse 4. And in verse 6, whom that we may set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. In other words, listen to me, church, prayer was made a priority. And God blessed the work in this New Testament church because they were more worried about praying and serving and giving and loving and doing ministry. They didn't have a bunch of committees that talked about doing ministry. They just went out and did it. Oh, it's easy to be a Baptist because Baptists love to talk about doing it. But you know what? The Bible says faith without works is what? No wonder our churches are dead. We talk about it. Talking about it, we talk it to death. Hello? You have no idea what this preacher's been through. But we talked that building about every way it could be talked. We talked it and talked it and talked it. And finally, somebody said, well, let's just do it. You know, you can talk about doing it. You know what? It's easy to talk about it. It's a whole different thing when you have to do it. Praying is doing something. It is. That's the first step. Much prayer is much power. Little prayer is little power. No prayer is no power. You want the power of God in your life? Then pray selflessly. They were preaching and it was spreading. Look, preaching and spreading. And the word of God increased. The gospel was being preached. Preaching was also a priority. Church, I'm giving you what God says in his word, a kingdom mentality. How God said, I will increase this work. He did it then, he'll do it now, because God has not changed. They prayed selflessly, and they preached spreading the word. Preaching is something I've never understood, and I'm a preacher. Let me tell you something. It has to be a work of God. I mean, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I just find it very hard. I'm not going to apologize. I just can't stand here and say, well, these men were anointed by God and they were appointed men. They were. That's not me. It's like Sherry. It's funny what she just said to me. She said, honey, go ahead and get it out and then we can go home. I mean, that's what she said to me. She said, I said, time is running out. She said, get it out of your system and then we'll go home. You know what's in my system? What God called me to do. I love preaching. I do. I love preaching. You know why? Because God called me to do it. I don't plan to ever retire from it. I'm going to be preaching in my coffin. I know I will. Someone say, close the door to the thing and shut him up. I mean, God just wants you. The preaching was spreading. It was a fire in their bones. God was using them because why? They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples were multiplied. Why? Because the people were sharing. You see how that works? Who's your one? Well, everyone has at least one. Every one of you have someone. Sam, where did Sam go? There's Sam. So Sam, after the day in our office, in my office, I prayed for you every day. My wife's heard me. I did. Now, I respected what you said. Pastor, give me some time. So I spent my time just lifting up Sam. What I didn't know when you got saved, there's a lot of other people in this church praying for you too. Now, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but Sam, look up here. I want you to always remember your preacher said this. We love you, son. We care for your soul. Enough that we said, we're not going to let Sam go to hell. We're going to love him to Jesus. And Sam, you can't say that I haven't loved you. Because I didn't judge you, I didn't beat you up, and I didn't aggravate you, okay? I just kept praying for you. That's what Who's Your One's all about. Number one, just praying. Not aggravating someone, not trying to push the gospel on someone, just praying. Is that too hard, church? Who's Your One is all about praying for that person. And as you pray for that person, you know what? I did come along as the Holy Spirit led me, and I'd say, Sam, how you doing? I'm doing pretty good, preacher. I'm getting there. I said, well, Sam, I'm here for you. I let Sam know that anytime he wanted to talk to me, I was available to him. Folks, we got to let people know that we care. They don't care how much you know. They just want to know that you care. Sharing. Who's Your One? Well, everyone has led at least one person to Christ, and the church was multiplying. Kingdom servants were focused on winning the lost to Jesus, and that is the purpose of the church. Are y'all listening to me today? I'm trying to give you something here that will... I'll tell you something, God will bless and He will use us if we make prayer the priority, if we keep preaching the gospel, if we share with other people. And last thing, and this happened, it really did happen, the priests got saved. It says, in a great company, last part of verse 7, of the priests were obedient to the faith. Warren Wisby said this, and I quote him, it has been estimated that there are 8,000 Jewish priests attached to the temple ministry in Jerusalem. And that great company are the ones that Dr. Luke was talking about here in Acts that trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, you know it's a day when the preachers are getting saved. Amen? That's what happened. You say, Pastor Ronnie, have you ever seen preachers get saved? I've led some preachers to the Lord. I'll never forget, I was in Atlanta, Georgia. This was many years ago with my oldest brother. And J. Harold Smith, you may have never heard his name, but he's an old preacher. And you think I preach long? He preached for 4 hours. I'm not lying. It was a preaching conference, but he took it all. Wow. He preached God's three deadlines. Church, believe this or not, but this is all true. I would say there were at least 5,000 people there. No one left. It was midnight. At midnight, he gave the invitation. I'll never forget as long as I live. Probably the most moving moment between me and God I've ever witnessed. 82 preachers got saved that night. 82. Then he had them come up and give testimony. I'll never forget one guy's testimony. He said, I have a doctorate in theology. Been to college, been to seminary, got my master's, got my doctorate. I pastor a church in Arizona, and we run 4,000 to 5,000. And tonight I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He said, I've had a knowledge of God, but I didn't know Him till tonight. He said, I'm going to go back to my church and tell what happened to me. He said, I may no longer be a pastor, but I'm saved. I followed up. I was at Hickory Grove Baptist Church in Charlotte. And I asked one of the pastors, that's a rather large church, and I said, you ever find out what happened to that guy that gave his testimony down in Marietta, Georgia? He said, that dude went back, and most of the deacons got saved, and a lot of people in the church got saved. What will happen if you get a saved preacher? There's a ripple effect. Look up here. I promise you, I don't claim to be no great preacher, but I'm a saved preacher. I know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. I know that, and I am humbled. Now, let me tell you, you may be a church member and be lost, because church membership don't save you. You may have been baptized, but Harnett County water can't save you. Okay? But I'll tell you what, we're going to give an invitation right now. Jesus will save you. He'll save you today. If you have any, you may be a deacon. Humble yourself today and say, you know what? I've had the position, but I'd like to have the person. Jesus. I love this song. I picked it out today. Make me a servant. Look up here. Would you pray for your pastor? Because I know this is the key of God using me, that I'll be His servant. I'd rather be a servant to King Jesus than to be the president of the United States of America. I'd have to step down to become president. I'm not running in 2020. I'd have to step down because my calling is higher than being president. You say, preacher, you're crazy. No. My calling, I know God called me into the ministry. And God wants to call somebody here today. Would you come? Seriously? Would you come? Get on your knees here and say, God, make me your servant. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would fill us with your Spirit today. I've preached your word. May we make prayer the priority. May we preach the gospel so that it will spread. May we lead the people to share the gospel. And may we see many people, including preachers and pastors and priests, anyone who's been religious, to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. May this church always be about pointing people to the Savior. And may someone be saved here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Make me a servant.